blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 22, the first stanza. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, thou God of grace? How long shall fears beset me, while darkness hides thy face? How long shall griefs distress me, and turn my day to night? How long shall foes oppress me, and triumph in their might? The first stanza of Psalter 22.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Mark and thereof chapter 15. But first we make confession with the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mark 15, beginning with verse 21 to and including 41. And they compelled one Simon of Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him unto the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads and saying, Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves with the scribes, He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ the King of Israel descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe. And they that were crucified with him reviled him. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. And there were also women looking afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James, the less and of Joseph and Salome, who also when he was in Galilee followed him and ministered unto him, and many other women which came up with him unto Jerusalem. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, all-knowing, all-sufficient God of the heavens and of the earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee. We have heard out of thy holy word of the suffering of thy dear Son. Many waters indeed cannot quench love and the love of thee. for thy church, nor the love of thy church for thee. And they did mock thee, but thou wast willing to bear it in order to deliver thy church. They said, he saved others. Himself he could not save. It was not so. Thou didst save others. Thyself thou wouldst not save, that thou mayest save thy church. Oh, that thou may give in our hearts also a need, for we have heard it our whole life long. But what has it profited us our whole life, when we have heard of the death and of the suffering of thy dear and only begotten Son? And it goes into our ears, but it enters not into our hearts, because the need is not wrought within. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou wouldest come in this season, that thou wouldest come in this day, and that thou wouldest work now in our hearts, who art sitting at the right hand of power and of glory, and that thou wouldest apply by the power of thy most Holy Spirit that work which thou hast finished to the last drop. O send then forth thy Spirit in the midst of us, whether we are here in thy house or in our homes. Thou knowest the places of each one. Wilt thou show to us what our sin is, that it may not be and remain for us but a history, but that it may become effectual for the healing of our poor, never-dying souls. Then we need to begin to see the evil of our sin, that we have sinned against a holy and a righteous God. Then we need to learn to sorrow, therefore, to weep because of our iniquities. Oh, that thou mayest bind them, Lord, upon our hearts. For we have heard it in our catechism in the weeks that have gone by, when we have gone from commandment to commandment. But we have no profit except that thou dost bring it home unto us. Oh, do for us then what we cannot do for ourselves, we and our dear children. Grant life in our poor souls, that we might learn to mourn and to weep, that we might learn to cry out of the wretchedness of our state by nature, that we might feel how that we are lost creatures in Adam, our covenant head, how that there is no salvation from our own side, that we are filled from the crown of our head to the sole of our foot with wounds, bruises, and putrefying sores. Oh, give us to cry out of our poverty, which will be our destruction, unless that thou dost intervene by thy Spirit. Oh, that thou mayest come then. Wilt thou grant life unto young and old together, a drawing near unto thy blessed footstool to receive power, where we have only form and we have only custom, but that there may be power experienced in the hearts of young and old together. Wilt thou look upon us in the day in which we are living with our children? For thy Spirit seems not to go forth as heretofore, and it is our own fault, for we have left thee days without number. But, Lord, thou wast the first one in the life of thy church, and thou wilt ever be the first one, and thou wilt ever be the last one. Oh, they have never begun it, and they cannot uphold it, and they cannot finish it. Therefore thou sayest, I am the first and the last, I am the beginning and the end. Oh, that thou mayest do so then in the life of thy children, wilt thou awaken them, whom thou knowest from that great eternity, in whom that thou hast begun thy own work. Oh, thou knowest how sleepy that thy church can be, as so that her fragrance goes not forth unto the others within the church. O Lord, that thou mayest come, and that thou mayest knock upon the door of her heart, and that thou mayest give her yet to awaken and to find thee, to speak of thee, that the daughters of Jerusalem, that they may come to say, whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Whither is thy beloved gone, that we might seek him with thee? O Lord, that she may be given to answer unto her, unto that church. He has gone down into his garden. He has gone down into the bed of spices. Oh, that he may feed in his garden, and that there he may gather lilies in his garden. Oh, Lord, wilt thou gather lilies also amongst us, those whom thou hast known from that great eternity, that are to thee so beautiful and so fair. Oh, that thou wouldst bring them in thy garden, and that thou wouldest gather them into thy church. Oh, that that visible church may be the place, and may it be amongst us where thou dost feed, that thou mayest enjoy the fruits of thy garden, and that the spices thereof may flow out. Oh, do it, Lord, in the days in which we live, that the children, that the young people, and may be given to see and to feel and to taste and to smell something of the beauty of thy church and all that thou hast laid away for her. Oh, that they may say, that is now the fairest among women. Oh, and that thy church may see thy beauty. Oh, that she may say, he is white and he is ruddy. He is the chiefest among the 10,000. Oh, that thou wouldst take away all the darkness and all the sloth in the midst of us. And wilt thou revive thou us in the midst of the years in wrath? Remember mercy, that thou mayest remember all the afflicted and all the many needs. For we do not bear them willingly. We have heard it in these moments, O Lord. Then Simon needed to be compelled to bear the cross. Oh, and we also need to be compelled, because we go not as thou didst go, and we go not willingly to suffer in this world, but it is for the health of thy church. Oh, then it is for a drawing away from all that is carnal and vain and passing away, as soon all to be burned up, as soon all to be lost, all the elements to melt with a fervent heat, when all this world shall be purified, and when thou wilt make a new heavens and a new earth, for the sake of thy own people, wherein shall dwell righteousness. Oh, that we may be given a desire and a longing to be part of that righteousness, that it may cover us as that white robe, and that we may be given to walk in that righteousness all our days, even to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, to receive that blessed perfection that thou hast laid away for thy people in obedience to thee and thy holy law. All the iniquity and all the transgression forgiven forever and forever, and all the pollution and all the corruption and all the rebellion and all the sin, all completely wiped away, as so that there is nothing that defileth that shall enter into that place. O Lord, that thou may give to us all together a heart that may long for that. Oh, that we may desire, that we may enter into that long home where thou art and where thy glory that is lifted up among all the cherubim and all the seraphim and in all thy glorified church. Oh, they do long for that day, the souls under the altar. Oh, may it also come from thy people here below. Remember those that cannot be with us in this afternoon. Oh, thou knowest those that fight the fires that are in this world. Lord, the wind, that thou thyself, who art over the wind and over all the nature, oh, could it please thee to calm it, oh, that thou wouldst protect the men who do fight the fires. Wilt thou watch over them, each and every one, to spare the lives and to keep from harm? Could it please thee also to spare the properties? For thou knowest those properties that are in harm's way. O Lord, thou givest unto men, and thou takest away. Thou art so righteous, and thou art so just. And yet, O Lord, we ask it that thou wouldst remember in thy mercy, that thou mayest look upon all the afflicted and the sick ones and those that need thee in special ways in this world. Wilt thou give them a place at thy footstool, those that cannot work, they cannot labor, those that receive treatments day, week by week or day by day, those that may lay in their own homes, the mother along in her home in great weakness, oh, help, Lord. And wilt thou prepare each and every one of us to meet thee in peace and in righteousness. Be thou with us in this afternoon, when a few may still be gathered in the midst of us, many also in their own homes. Lord, that thou mayest be in the midst of us to strengthen us to do this labor, and that thou mayest be in the midst of us to make it an easy work and to bless us undeservedly out of heaven for Jesus' sake. Amen. We make the following announcements. Janita Brunn has been examined before the consistory and accepted to make confession of faith. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Tuesday, March the 30th. The Lord willing, we also hope to have a reading service this coming Friday at 10 o'clock for Good Friday. Let us now sing Psalter 240, stanzas 1 and 3. Lord, the God of my salvation, day and night I cry to thee. Let my prayer now find acceptance in thy mercy. Answer me. 1 and 3 of Psalter 240. Congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon can be found in the portion that was read to you, Mark 15, and thereof the verses 33 to 36. Mark 15, verses 33 to 36. And when in the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. So far, the words of our text. Darkness over the whole land. First, the reality of this darkness. Second, the cry out of this darkness. And third, the mockery concerning this darkness. Darkness over the whole land. First, the reality of, second, the cry out of, and third, the mockery concerning this darkness. And when the sixth hour was come, what is the sixth hour? That is, for that Jewish people, 12 o'clock noon. That is when the sun that is at its highest place. Thus, the third hour was the hour in which the Lord Jesus was crucified. That was the hour of the morning sacrifice, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have at the ninth hour, that is at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that was the time of the evening sacrifice. And then the Lord Jesus has given up the ghost. Thus, 6 hours upon the cursed tree, that is from 9 o'clock, from the third hour till 3 o'clock, that is until the ninth hour. And now we read it is the sixth hour, that is halfway in between, children. Thus it is noon time. And so we read there was now darkness for 3 hours, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, from 12 o'clock unto 3 o'clock, that the sun does not shine. We do not know what degree that was. We do not know how dark that it was in that land. But the Bible says there was darkness. Darkness over the whole land. What does that mean? Was that then over the whole world? That is not likely. We do not read in the history books in other places in the world that these things are mentioned, but it seems that that has gone as far at least as the Roman Empire. Tertullian has written to the Romans, and he has said that is written in your own history books. Dionysius the Areopagite, he has also seen it when he was in the land of Egypt. And then he has said at that time that either the divine being is angry or he suffers, or that the whole machine of the world is tumbling into ruin. Thus, how frightening that this thing must have been. And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Then there are always people, young people, there are always those who will try to give a natural explanation and try to minimize the wonders that we read in the Word of God. And then what will they say? Maybe you have it in your own thought. Say, well, that sometimes happens in our land too, that it becomes dark for a little while. Yes, that is right. In the time of the eclipse of the sun, right? When the moon that is coming in between, and then we cannot see the light of the sun. Could that have been also at this time? It cannot be. And why can that not be? Because it was the time of the Passover. The time of the Passover, that was in the middle of the month. So the month began with the new moon, the middle of the month, that was the full moon. And we do not have the eclipse of the sun at the time of the full moon. And they are on the opposite sides of the earth. No, it is no eclipse of the sun, but it is a wonder. It is a wonder even as Dionysius has spoken. It is even that divine being, he is doing this. That divine being, he is suffering. Thus, it is a miracle that is in the heavens, a miracle that is taking place among the planetary bodies. But it is not only a miracle in and of itself, but also the time that this takes place that is also coinciding. So not only something that has never taken place before or afterwards, but also coinciding with that which has not taken place before or afterwards. That is the death of the Son of God. The suffering of the Son of God. Is it any wonder that the sun itself did withdraw from her own shining at such a sight? God himself, he makes the light. God himself, he makes the darkness. He has created it. He has set that sun in the heavens, and he has given that sun to rule according to certain mathematical rules which he himself upholds. But then we see how that the Lord, he is above his own creation. Thus the Lord himself is able to change that own creation of his. When the Savior was born, then there was a great light. When? In the night. And when the Savior died, then there was a great darkness. Then, in the middle of the day. Thus the Lord himself, he shows himself to be the God of the creation. He shows himself to be the God of redemption. Why did the Lord make it dark? Can we answer that question? We often ask ourselves, why does the Lord do this? Why does the Lord do that? We cannot answer all those questions. If the Lord does not say to us in his word why that he does this or that, then we do not know. No, then we can only surmise. But there are certain things that we can read in God's word about darkness. Darkness is sometimes a judgment. That's the way it was in Egypt. Right, children? You know about the darkness in the land of Egypt? Then for 3 days it was so dark that men did not even move out of their places. Darkness, how fearful that it was. Pharaoh would not bow. The Lord says, Pharaoh, you will not bow. I am God, and I will make you to bow. Oh, if God has brought darkness upon Pharaoh and his people for their wickedness, is it any wonder that God has brought darkness at the crucifixion of his only begotten Son? Darkness is fearful. Oh, how ought that people, that Jewish people, the Romans, how they ought to have trembled under this darkness, when the very light of the sun is withheld from them. Then we can imagine how that poor wife of Pilate has trembled, or that woman who has suffered already so many things in a dream because of this man. And then we can imagine that woman, in her superstitious fears, she must have trembled, and perhaps even Pilate with her, when in the middle of the day, when at noontime, when the skies are clear, when there are no clouds to give an explanation, when there is no eclipse to give an explanation, when it is only to be explained to be the power of the gods, oh, then how fearful, even as Dionysius has himself written, the whole world tumbling into ruin. What a calling. What a calling for the Jews, for these rulers, for the Pharisees. They confessed the true God. They confessed the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, the sustainer of this entire universe. Oh, then how fearful it must have been also for them, even over against all those superstitious heathens with all of their natural fears. The heavens themselves, they are astonished at the violence that is done unto the only begotten Son of God. The sun itself that refuses to shine on this deed of that Jewish people. For 3 years, the divinity of the Son of Man has from time to time made itself evident. And now in this day, that divinity and the evidence, the manifestation of that divinity that is coming to a climax even in the celestial bodies. Oh, what greater token could the Lord have given of his anger? What greater token could the Lord have given again of his displeasure against the crime that this people have done, than when he will silence the light of the very sun that gives life and heat unto this whole world? Then it is just as if the Lord, he is ready to wipe out all of mankind at this deed, to take away all the life of the entire world. But the Jews, they pass it over. This powerful testimony, they pass it over in silence. Oh, how fearful is our depravity. We can read in the parable of Christ that rich man, he is asking, oh, send Lazarus that he may speak unto my brethren. The Lord, he says, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. Nay, Father Abraham, But if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they repent, though one rose from the dead. And what do we see here? Neither will they repent, though the very sun in the sky did cease her shining, and men did fear for the upheaval of the entire world. Then man still, so hard is that heart of man by nature, so dead is fallen man, that though the sun would cease her shining, that will not bring him to a true repentance. Indeed, the Lord has removed the light from the people, from the people of the Jews, even until this day. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to give unto them that light again. And when that sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. It is the last hour. It is the climax of the sufferings of the Savior. And darkness, darkness overshadows him for those last hours. Oh, suffering is never so terrible as it is in the dark. The Bible that says day and night are both alike to thee, but day and night are not alike to us. No, in the night, especially in the afflictions, oh, then that darkness that is bringing on men fears, consternation, that is not brought upon him in the same sufferings in the day. And so we hear that Son of Man, he is crying out in our second thought of this darkness. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Do not understand that, children. You say, that is not our language. No, that is the Syriac language in which that it was spoken. Because then it is recorded, even for the church of God unto the end of the world, that they may hear. We hear what that Son of Man has cried out of the depth of his soul in that last hour, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now we hear what has taken place in this ninth hour. Then we hear what has now been taking place in these last hours, in that darkness. How much suffering has the Lord Jesus not endured to this moment? Oh, then he has been buffeted, and he has been mocked, and he has been stricken, and he has received thorns. Oh, so much suffering. Oh, we have seen how that they have nailed through his hands, through his feet, and through all that physical suffering, then we hear nothing coming out of the mouth. Then he went as a lamb to the slaughter, and as he openeth not his mouth, so he has gone. And now it is different. Now we hear a cry. It is a cry, we read, with a loud voice. It is a cry under the suffering of his soul. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who can fathom what is couched in that complaint of that blessed Son of God? God, forsaken of God. We cannot comprehend the mystery of the Trinity. What did Christ say? He says, I and my Father are one. Surely there is nothing that is able to break the bonds that are between the Father and the Son, the bonds between all the persons of that blessed Trinity, three in one and one in three. Thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. All those bonds, they are the great comfort of the Church of God. Why? Well, Christ says that they may be one in us. Thus, the security of the Church that is bound up in the bonds of that Holy Trinity, they are unbreakable bonds. Hell is not able to prevail against them, to make a separation, to make the separation of death, that there would be anything that is coming between the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And yet, sin. Oh, do you feel something of the power, the great power of sin? That sin that has caused that very Son of God to cry out of that felt displeasure of his own Father. What else in all this world would be able so to militate against those unbreakable, blessed bonds of that Holy Trinity? Was the love broken? No. Was the faithfulness of the Father broken? Did it come to an end? Did it cease when he said that he will uphold his Son? When the Son did covenant with him already in eternity, and the Father to the Son, when he promised that he would uphold to bring him through, was that covenant broken? No. And yet he had to feel something. He had to experience something of the greatness of the wrath of his Father against sin. Thus, that sensible presence of his Father that is withdrawn. What do our fathers say? He descended into hell. What did the Lord Jesus say? This is your hour and the power of darkness. He descended into hell. Is God in hell? What do you think, young people? Is God in hell? Do you know what David says? He says, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. God in hell. Say, how is that possible? How is he there? Or how is he in hell? Well, that place that is upheld by his own power, that is his own place of judgment, certainly he is there. Or he is there in the way of his wrath. He is there in the way of his displeasure. That means that everything that is good or favorable or enjoyable, that is all taken away. The common good that the Lord gives to all men in this world, even one drop of water, that is not to be experienced there. Any comfort for the body, any relief for the body, for the soul, that is not existing in that place. And then also the spiritual favor of the Lord that is not existing in hell. No, there is only a removal of his favor. There is only his displeasure and his wrath to be experienced. Forsaken of God. And there Satan receives his full permission to harass, to vex, to mock, to taunt anguished souls for 3 hours. For 3 hours upon that tree, darkness, they descend into the soul of the blessed Son of Man. And at the same time, his own Father hid his face from him, while he had to strive against all the fiery darts of that prince of darkness. No, he did not suffer in his divine nature, but in his human nature. The same as your nature, the same as my nature. Satan, he surrounds him with all his hellish spirits. Satan comes in like a flood. He comes in his hellish rage. And at the same time, the Father frowns upon his only begotten Son. Oh, he laid on him the iniquity of his church. He imputed it to him. He laid it on his account. He gave him to feel. He gave him to know the wrath of God against sin. Against whose sin? Against your sin? Against my sin? Against the sin of this whole world? Oh, then he had to feel something of the displeasure of God against the rebellion of Adam, against the lies of Abraham and of Isaac, against the deceit of Rebekah, of Jacob. Oh, then he had to feel something of God's disfavor upon the sin of David, upon David's adultery, upon David's murder, upon Solomon's wanderings, upon Solomon's idolatry, to feel the wrath that should have come down against all the iniquity, all the transgressions of Manasseh. Oh, to feel the displeasure of the wrath of the law against the denial of Peter, against the ambition of a James and a John. And is your name in there too? Is your name in there too? Written in that book of life that he has also suffered in those 3 hours. The displeasure of the Lord that is due against our iniquity and that will surely be laid upon us and our own children. Except that we are also included in this suffering of the Son of God. What a load. What a load of guilt. What a load of pollution. What a load of corruption was laid upon that Son of Man, so that he in that darkness had to cry out, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Let us sing 47, 1 and 4. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. 1 and 4 of Psalter 47. Last thought, the mockery concerning this darkness, and some of them that stood by when they heard it said, Behold, he calleth Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink, saying, Let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. It is remarkable that we do not read anything in all of the Gospels of anything that has taken place during those 3 hours of darkness. We read beforehand that there was mocking. The soldiers were mocking, the rulers, the Jews were mocking. But it seems that in these 3 hours that it was different. It was different also, I think, in Egypt, wasn't it? In those 3 days. Then we will not have heard Pharaoh's wicked mouth. No, in that time it was shut. But no sooner does the light return, and immediately we read that this mocking begins again. How daring is man? And then the Lord touches him just with one little finger. All his courage is gone. Then he goes into hiding. You ever feel it? When the Lord touches us, a little sickness, an accident, then his hand is so mighty. And then, then we are a little bit humbled. Then we are brought low. Maybe we even tremble. And then, let it just go over so that we may put it behind us. And then we go on just the same as we did before. No, we are no different than these mockers. Behold, he calleth for Elias, let alone. Let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. What do they say? God has forsaken him. He cannot rely upon God anymore. He has no access unto God. Now he cries to someone else. Now he cries unto Elijah. Where is his God that he has spoken of? Where is his doctrine now that he has spoken of for these 3 years, and now he is calling upon Elijah? One begins to mock, and another one he begins to mock with him, because there's always strength in numbers. Children, you do that too in school? When they are mocking a boy or a girl, and they make fun of him or her, you join in too? Shameful. Or would you have joined also with these mockers mocking the Lord Jesus Christ in his affliction? No, not everyone mocks. No, we can read about two thieves, and the one was mocking, and they were both mocking, and then later only one was mocking. Then the Lord converted that man. Is that not a wonder? You read that here also. There is another man. He is not on the cross. No. He is standing there and he has seen everything, just like everyone else. Oh, no more than he was involved even in everything. Who was that man? Was he a Jew? Was he a Pharisee? No, he was a Gentile. He was a heathen man. He was a Roman. He was a centurion. Oh, do you see how free that the Lord is? The Lord, he speaks here in the way of a judgment upon his own people. Oh, can we imagine when the Lord would now take, when he heard one sermon, a man of the world, a man who had never heard a word of God before, and when the Lord would give a deep impression of his great majesty, of that man's own sin, all from one sermon, that man would say as this man, surely this is the Son of God. What a judgment that was for the Jewish people. Do you know what the Lord is going to do now? That Jewish people, they have nailed him to the cross. They have rejected their king. Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And now what is the Lord going to do? Now the Lord is going to go to the Gentiles. Oh, then the Jewish nation, they have had their time. The light of the candlestick that has been among that people. And now the Lord, he is going to pluck it up. And he is going to place the light of that candlestick among another people. O congregation, the judgment of the Lord that is so right, that is so just. These are warnings that come to us and our children. And when that sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. Darkness, that is here a symbol of the hiding of the face of God, even from his own Son, to whom the Lord has imputed the iniquity of his entire church. Darkness, that is often a punishment for sin. The hiding of the friendly countenance of the Lord. That is now the punishment that is going to be against the wicked forever and forever and forever. That there will never be any favor of the Lord to be toward that people anymore. Oh, this darkness, this hiding of the face of the Lord, the friendly countenance of the Lord, that signifies death itself, especially spiritual death, eternal death, the separation from the favor of God. There is nothing so dreaded by the true church of God as his disfavor. And there is nothing so coveted by the people of the Lord as to experience a little of the blessed favor of the Lord. That is now the new life. Is that also our life? That desire, do we say, with Solomon, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Oh, do you long for the sensible manifestations of the favor of God? Do you long for this even more than all the deliverance from all of our bodily afflictions, from all of our trials here in this world? Oh, to experience a few moments of what is experienced in that place of eternal bliss, the favor of the Lord. Asaph, he says, we see not our signs. We are missing the tokens of the manifestation of the favor of the Lord. That was a burden to him. Is that also a burden to us? if we are in darkness, cannot see anything. That does not mean it is not there. It only means that we cannot see it. And that darkness, that can be so terrifying. Children, are you afraid when you are in the dark? Sometimes, when it is very, very dark, then you are afraid. Well, God's children, they also become afraid when it is dark in their soul. Because then Satan is so busy in the dark. That is true in this world. Oh, young people, you belong home when it is dark. In your own home, not out in the world. Because there Satan is doing his work. Satan loves the dark. Because there you cannot see. And there he covers all that sin with blackness. But the Lord sees it. No, be at home when it is dark. In your own place. And ask the Lord for light. God's children, they are afraid when it is dark. When it is dark in their soul. And why are they then so afraid? Because Satan comes. And Satan makes all kinds of propositions to them when it is dark. And when they cannot see the light of the countenance of the Lord. And then Satan says to them, with you, it is lost. Haman, he says, I am counted with them that go down into the pit. It was dark. And Satan mocks that true people of the Lord when it is dark. And he tries to dissuade them from prayer. God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there are none to deliver him. Then they read in the word, but that word is closed. The Lord, he does not speak anymore through that word. Then the Lord, he is so silent, and they cannot behold anything anymore of the smiles of the Lord. No, not even through the lattice, not even just a little bit. Then you remember the days of old, the years of ancient times. Then you call to remembrance your song in the night. And then you say, will God cast off forever? Or will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? O Lord, wilt thou come again? Because for me it is dark, but it is my own fault. Because I have indeed left him, and I have left him days without number. And then it is no wonder that the sun does withdraw its shining for such crimes as I have committed against the Lord. Haman the Ezraite, he said, Lord, why castest thou off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? I am afflicted. I am ready to die from my youth up. Why? Has not Christ paid that price for his church? That they should not have to endure that darkness? Oh, they shall not endure it. They shall not endure it forever and forever. No, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him. unto all that call upon him in truth. But there are two reasons that the Lord hides his face from his people. And what is the first one? The first one is sin. Sin always makes separation. And those chastisements of the Lord, they are not to merit anything. No, everything that has already been merited by Christ for his church. But we cannot grieve that Spirit of the Lord and then still expect that we would feel and experience that blessed communion of the Lord. No, the Lord does not smile upon the transgressions of his people. The Lord withdrew from the bride when she was upon her bed of sloth. And when he knocked, then she says, I rose up to open unto my beloved. But my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. My soul failed when he spake. Oh, the Lord will make his people feel the evil of sin. The evil of sin and what Christ had to suffer for their sake. But sin, that is not the only cause for the withdrawing of the light of the countenance of the Lord. There is another cause. Only think of Job. His friends said, it is sin. Job said, no. And Job was right. And they were wrong. But the Lord withdraws sometimes for another reason. And that is because earth is not heaven, and time is not eternity. Do you know why the Lord withdraws? Because his children, they walk over this world just as if they are the children of the world. And because the Lord cannot see any difference anymore, because the Lord would hear from his children, he would hear a cry, and because the Lord would draw his children, do you know what was music in the ears of the Lord? When the Apostle Paul, he said, I am ready to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Oh, how precious are the seasons. Those short seasons that the Lord is visiting his people. Those precious seasons when they are brought into his banqueting house. When the Lord brings them not only into his garden, into that visible church, but into his chambers. There where he may commune with them. Where that he may speak a word in favor unto their soul. Oh, they are short. They are few. But they are so precious unto that church of God. Prize them highly. Prize them very highly. Oh, do nothing that would displease the Lord and that would chase him away. Because surely you will regret it. Oh, those daughters of Jerusalem, they came to that bride, and that bride spoke to them. And then that bride, she says to them, if you find him, if you find my beloved, if you hear from him, if he speaks with you, if you get a little access at his throne, then tell him something. Tell him something from me, because I cannot find him, because I have no access. And when you find him for just a moment, and you may feel a little of his favor, and you may for a moment pray, oh, then speak a word for me there and tell him that I am sick of love. But now that time is coming for all who love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity, that they will not see him anymore through a glass darkly, but they are going to see him face to face. That was merited for them. It was bought for them upon that cursed tree in the hours of darkness wherein he has cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou, who hast paid the price for sin, thou who hast taken away the darkness, thou who hast in those hours of darkness suffered what we would have to suffer forever and forever, will it please thee to grant us light, to grant us favor, to grant us a blessing, oh, to speak a little, just a word, even behind us in our ear, just a little word, for a little token, for thy own church, that they may be encouraged, that they may go on again, that they may receive a little hope again, a little faith again, a little drink in the wilderness of this world, and that thy name may be glorified, their mouth may go open. Do forgive all our sins. Bring us safely home. We may remember once again, and we do not know what is taking place with the fires, but wilt thou help? Keep us in this week. Bring us together with a desire when we hope to commemorate Good Friday, that thou may give a place for it in our hearts. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 209, stanzas 2 and 7. In long-continued grief I stand and seek the Lord with outstretched hand. I find no comfort for my soul. The clouds of darkness o'er me roll. 2 and 7 of Psalter 209.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.